And we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And for our second half of the program today, we're going to hear from our guests from the Manhattan Housing Authority. And we've got two different guests joining us here on Zoom this morning. Assistant Executive Director Mandy Thomas is one of them. Mandy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing well. Pleasure to talk to you once again. And also have a familiar voice we used to have on KMAN quite a bit, Brad Clausen. He is a commissioner with the Manhattan Housing Authority. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. It's nice to be on again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Albeit in a little different capacity this time.
how are you doing in retirement? How's that going for you?
Excellent. Doing well. I do miss a lot of the people I dealt with, you know, in my previous life. But hey, on to another chapter, and you know, it's been good.
Well, we're glad to have you on once again. Appreciate that. And I got a few different things we're going to touch on here this morning in our next 25 minutes or so. And Mandy, I'll start with you about some significant successes that we're going to be talking here that the Manhattan Housing Authority is working with right now.
All right. So we've had two significant successes for the Manhattan Housing Authority, and I'm going to cover a couple of those. One being the CDBG CARES Emergency Grant Award, and two being MHA online applications. The challenge that we've had is Manhattan area is estimated to be $9 million behind on rental arrears. Last week, the City of Manhattan awarded MHA $79,000 to reimburse us for expenses related to COVID and help meet our COVID cleaning needs in common areas and unit turnovers going into the fall and spring of 2022. We have been very lucky to not have significant outbreaks in the public housing towers and mid-rise, but we needed help to bring some professionals certified in COVID mitigation and cleaning. Our goal is to not make it through the pandemic without ever being identified by KDHE as a place of community spread for COVID. And to ensure that that happens, this funding will allow us to keep up with professional cleaning scheduling for common areas and public housing. We also are able to utilize the funding to help residents and staff convert to touchless work order systems. We are rolling out the iPads now and really bringing MHA up to speed on technology. It's a process, but we are making improvements. COVID has demonstrated a need to use countless systems and remote technology in ways the Housing Authority has never experienced before. Everything from remote inspections via Zoom to online rent payment that is going to be happening later this fall for public housing residents.
All right. Well, very good. And, you know, speaking of online rent, I know that the application, the public housing and housing choice vouchers for both of those are now online, as I understand that. How is that going so far?
It's been pretty impressive. We put our application online and did some minimal promoting of it on August 21st. 5 days later, we have already received 189 applications. The great thing about the online application is the access and freedom it gives those who need housing assistance to complete the form with a friend or help of someone else and then go back and edit or change the status of their application. Digitizing that process has been a little bit like moving a mountain of bureaucracy, but it feels great to have some tangible progress.
All right. I might just ask you real quick, Mandy, you mentioned the Manhattan area is estimated to be $9 million behind on rental arrears. And I think I saw that release come down last week from the Housing Authority. How is that determined? Do you know, how do they figure that information out?
I believe that information has came from the Kansas Housing Resources Corporation and through some information that they have received through the CARES grant that they are responsible for, which I think Brad's going to touch on that a little bit in his presentation.
All right. Well, let's bring Brad on here. Again, Brad is a commissioner here with Manhattan Housing Authority. And Tell us a little bit more about that, how your involvement there.
Well, you know, after having retired at the fire department, from being there a pretty long time, I still went to the some of the functions and things that I used to go to as part of my job there. And in one of those, I had heard that they had a opening on the Board of Commissioners for the Housing Authority. And so I just mentioned to Mayor Butler that I'd be happy to help fill that if they needed someone, if they could find someone better qualified than me. That was great too. But I wound up getting appointed to that. And I've only been on there a few months, so I'm still kind of getting up to speed on the entire operation and everything that goes on with that. So you'll have to bear with me a little in that respect, but it's been great so far. It's a good board and I think an excellent staff. Aaron and Mandy and everybody are doing a great job. I think just some of the things Mandy just touched on were important in, you know, trying to bring technology into getting, you know, applications done and those type of things. And so, you know, it's exciting to see progress being made with all of that. I know in one of my past appointments, I had been on the Manhattan Emergency Shelter Board for several years, and I was president of that board. And it's now interesting to see the difference kind of between, you know, short-term emergency housing and a little bit longer-term housing as part of the Housing Authority. And it is, you know, it's different, but each of those organizations serves an important role in the community, and I'm glad I'm able to be a part of both of those. I give a little plug to the emergency shelter staff if they're listening, because they're a great group of folks too, and they do a great job down there just like the Housing Authority folks do.
I'll second that. Yeah, I really appreciate the work that they do and our relationship we've been able to build with them here at K-Man over the last couple of years that I've been here. They do, you know, exceptional work, and you know, a lot of it goes kind of unnoticed a lot of the time. Because
you know, unless you need them, you don't always know that they're there. But, you know, I know a lot of community folks make donations and so on. I'm getting a little off the topic here, but that's nice when people take things, food related products and stuff down there. That was just a good bit of my past history that kind of ties in a little bit with what I'm doing now.
You know, and we've talked on this program the last couple months here since we started having it as a more regular feature, and the fact that there is indicators that there's more homelessness in our community, and a lot of folks I don't think always recognize what homelessness really looks like.
Yeah, it seems like, and you know, I think some of that's just based maybe on the application. Mandy can probably add to this a little bit if she wants, but it seems like our applications for housing at MHA are going up, you know, and part of that may be indicative of more people being, you know, homeless and needing a place to live and you know, trying to get some of those folks off the street and into good housing, you know, it's an important part of what MHA is doing. Mandy, is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think you nailed it well, Brad.
Well, let's maybe talk a little bit more about some of the things that MHA is doing here with response to HUD and some of the federal things going on. Is there some stuff you guys are doing right now behind the scenes, Mandy or Brad, whoever wants to address that?
Yeah, I could start, and then Mandy can add detail if she wants to. But I know you mentioned, Brandon, you saw the release last week, I think it was, with respect to the aid for the folks that are behind on rent. So, you know, Mandy mentioned that was maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of, $9 million or thereabouts, and I'm not 100% sure how that number was arrived at, but that's the number that I saw. And, you know, that's you know, not only tenants behind on rent. That's landlords behind on being able to collect that rent. So there is some aid out there, though, for that. I think already there have been, I think, states processed somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 applications in the Manhattan area for that aid. And so, you know, it's important, I think, to know that is out there for tenants and landlords. And if, you know, if you're so inclined, that would be a good place to go to maybe try and ease the burden a little bit. Mandy, any more detail on that you want to add?
Sure. So it looks like for the breakdown per county that we're looking at, so Riley County has 235 applications and 956,000 behind in rent. Gary County, oh, I'm sorry, that's paid out. Gary County did 200 applications and that's 662,000. And Pot County had 15 applications for 86,000. The Manhattan Housing Authority is hopeful to launch a Bridge to Housing Stability program with future assistance from the state that will meet eviction prevention, rapid rehousing, and ensure that strength-based case management is coupled with housing-first approaches in the Manhattan area. And there was a news article that was done on this, and the major slogan here is "Don't evict, apply for CARA." So our application is available on our website at www.mhaks.com. You can get on our waiting list there. And if anybody is interested, they can either call us or email us if they want to help with some resident services for our public housing properties.
All right. Good information there. And so, you know, let's hope people can take advantage of that if they absolutely need that help right now. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with Mandy Thomas and Brad Clausen here with the Manhattan Housing Authority. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.